And now, the life of Mary Southern. With Max Sanders committed to the penitentiary for 1 year and a day, Gerald Proust lost no time trying to gain control of his share in the Sanders interest. Mary, saving Max's control for him until he was a free man, refused to sell out to Proust at any price. He called Mr. Barton, an industrialist who was building a factory in town, and who has befriended Max and Mary Sanders. Proust told Barton that the mill hands, or the town's public opinion and power, resented Mary as the wife of their imprisoned ex-leader. Recall to Barton that, besides being a public servant himself, he and the mill would be dependent upon each other, and that therefore it would not be wise to buck public opinion. Would Barton, merely for Mary's sake, understand? Would Barton speak to his friend Mary Sanders and explain her precarious position and urge her to leave town? It is a few moments later. Barton, in his field office, is waiting for the operator to get Mary Sanders on the line. Barton's vivacious 18-year-old daughter is with him.
But, Father, why telephone Mary Sanders? It's Danny and Phyllis Stratford that I want to help. Hmm?
Well, Mary's husband, being Phyllis's brother, Mary would have an interest in the couple, see?
Oh. Well, do you think Mary will like my idea of living with the Stratfords?
Hmm? Living with them?
Why, yes. Phyllis gets along all right in a wheelchair during the day, but at night... Suppose something happened to one of those tiny babies in the middle of the night.
Hmm.
Suppose Danny didn't hear that baby and something was wrong. A pin sticking or a colic or something. That'd be terrible, Danny.
Hmm.
And you're always saying I'm a restless daughter of the rich with nothing serious on my mind.
Well?
Well, taking care of an invalid is something worthwhile. And they need me, I think. I hope. Daddy... You don't suppose they wouldn't want me?
The best way to find out is to ask them, isn't it? Yes? Oh, how are you, Mary?
I suppose it's all right with her, Dad.
Laura, be quiet. Oh, no, not you, Mary. That daughter of mine is here tormenting me again. Look, Mary, I'd like to have a little chat with you. Will you be home in the next half hour or so? May I come over then? Fine. Thank you. Be right over. Bye.
You didn't ask again.
Tell you what, Laura. You go over and talk to Danny and Phyllis Stratford about your little plan.
Yeah.
Meet me in 20 minutes.
Well, no, Mr. Barton, I haven't been around town very much since Max refused the trial started. Why do you ask?
Well, then you haven't had any occasion for noticing the attitude of the townspeople toward you, I suppose.
Why, no. What attitude?
Mary, a very peculiar situation has arisen concerning the administration of the affairs of this town.
Oh, you mean about Max?
Yes. The former leader of Sandra's political life is your husband. The town looked up to him, trusted him, lived largely by what he said and did.
And now the man they believed in so implicitly is a criminal, and they feel they've been let down. Is that it?
The mill hands seem to feel that way about it, Mary.
And as the mill goes, so goes Sanders. Right?
I'm afraid so. They bitterly resent Max as having mixed in with the gambling outfit. Might have overrun the town. Now Max is in prison, and they resent him for having made fools of them. They resent you.
They resent me? But why?
Heaven alone understands the psychology of the crowd. But it's a fact that they regard you as a constant reminder of their humiliation. They might even think that you are as guilty as Max. Think that you knew about the whole affair all the time.
Oh, how utterly. What else?
I'm very much afraid they resent you just enough to make you very unwelcome here in Sandy.
Oh, I see.
Hmm.
Well, tell me, Mr. Barton, how do you know the mill hands feel that way? Did Gerald Proust speak to you?
I'd really rather not say, Mary.
All right. What do you suggest, Mr. Barton?
I don't know what to say, Mary. I believe in Max's innocence. I like you and Max very much. All my friendship for you and Max urges me to tell you to leave town for your own sake alone.
But, Mr. Barton...
The troublesome part of it is that certain other interests of mine also compel me to tell you to leave town. I wouldn't know which impulse secretly influenced me more strongly.
I understand your position, Mr.
My factory will be largely dependent for its success upon the complete cooperation and goodwill of the mill. By supporting you, I'd antagonize the mill people.
But, Mr. Barton...
Please. Failure of my factory wouldn't mean just a personal loss to me. It would throw a great many people out of work. People who came from out of town to make their homes here even. Suffering and hardship to be inflicted on innocent families.
I can see that.
I have a certain social consciousness reflected in my daughter, Laura. For the sake of the workers, the factory must succeed. In that respect, my factory is a public trust, and I am a public servant. If your presence annoys the mill hand, if my support of you annoys them...
I know. It might have far-reaching effects on your business relations and all that it means to your workers.
So you see, I'd also be prejudiced in advising you to...
Then let me say something, Mr. Barton. If I were sure that this unrest you speak of at the mill were a fact, I'd step out of my own free will. I'd be the last person in the world to want to bring hardship and suffering to those people because of my presence. But I doubt that those conditions exist.
I wonder. Of course, it came to me...
If I leave town, it means automatically giving up my husband's stock in the Sanders interest. And Max's last word to me when we parted was that I save his stock until he's free. So until I know that my being here may cause serious hardship and trouble for others, I mean to carry out my husband's wishes.
I see, Mary. And I congratulate you. And for my part, I'm not deserting you yet. Since you intend to stay and see it out, I'll do all I can, considering my position, to help you. And there's my hand on it.
Thank you, Mr. Barton. Oh, excuse me, please.
Oh, that's that 18-year-old of mine, I bet.
Well, let's see if it is.
Hello, Mary.
Oh, come in, Laura. Oh, how pretty you look.
I'm so excited. Where's Father?
Right in here. See if he's been expecting
me. Yes. Oh, hello, Father. Father, it's all right. I can do it. Daddy and Phyllis think it's a splendid idea. Did you ask Mary? Do you mind, Mary? May I do it?
I don't know, Laura. Mind what?
Father, you never said a word to her.
Laura wants to be useful or something, and she's made up her mind she's going to take care of Phyllis and live there.
And live there, do you say?
Isn't it a lovely idea?
Well, now, couldn't you stop in often just as well? I mean, is it necessary to stay at the Stratford?
Well, things are always happening to babies, and Phyllis says she often wished she had someone like me around. Don't you like the idea, Mary?
Oh, Laura, it's very generous of you to offer, but, well, you're very young, and it might not be as exciting as you think it is. I'm not sure, Laura.
Well, you don't think there can be any harm?
Oh, no, I just thought about your being...
Oh, I'm as strong as anything, and I do so want to do it. So don't you worry one bit about me, will you?
No.
Then it's all settled.
Yes, Laura, it's all settled.
We wondered, Mary, when you said that Laura was so young and lovely. Were you thinking, too, that Danny is young and impressionable, and his wife an invalid? Anyhow, you made it plain that you're going to fight for your husband's rights. And Barton's with you as well as he can be.